Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that, stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Welcome, everybody, to another exciting episode of Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Yet another one in a row that starts off with Brian, me, and Luke, you. Hey, what's going on, Luke?
What's going on, Brian? It's like Lion King 1.5. Let's not give you full credit for yesterday's.
Lion King 1.5?
Yeah. Have you seen that one where Timon and Pumbaa are like doing commentary in the background of the movie?
Oh,
like they're
yeah.
watching it in the theater. It's great.
Yeah.
Staple of see this when you're a 90s kid and you experienced the late 90s early 2000s at that age, I can remember those details that you may have missed.
I saw a picture of a cake that was the scene of Simba looking down on dead Mufasa from the top of the cliff.
I saw this too.
And that's what the kid wanted.
That was what the kid requested for their birthday.
Why did you want that? Well, so everyone will be sad and I'd have more cake.
Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. There's enough cake to go around, and by cake, I mean Wisconsin headlines that we're going to dive into, serve up on delicious tangents for you, and you can join the show at any time, 844-967-2789. I will tell you to eat your cake and enjoy it.
As long as it's ice cream cake by Carvel, I'm all in.
There you go. I'm just a big fan of ice cream cake in general.
Ice cream in general, custard, cream, whatever. I'm down for it if it's frozen and delicious. Honestly, yes. Not even frozen. I'd probably add cereal milk. I'm trying to see. I'm like the
you're
stall
trying to
there.
Figure out what the cutoff would be.
The stall for, there is yeah. where I'm drawing the line yeah. on flavored yeah. milk. Not strawberry milk. Not a fan.
No.
Not a fan. But I was a huge Nestle, like the powder stuff.
Oh, yeah. That's
I was
delicious.
A fiend for that. Oh, my yeah. goodness.
Folks, you are listening to this program. We are broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios here on Madison's Near West Side on Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM. We're also broadcasting in Wausau, Wisconsin on Bull Falls Radio. That's 98.9 FM, 1230 AM, WXCO. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
On locally grown radio out of Wisconsin Rapids, that is 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. And then where Brian is broadcasting from today, in Waukesha, Wisconsin, on the Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
So I log into all these different, you know, stations on a daily basis mm-hmm. all the time. That's part of my job, but, you know, totally fine. But I've gotten to the point where they're like my mom with all of us and the children. She names me three dead dogs before she gets to my name. Three dead dogs, my brother. She's had a full conversation with, I thought she was talking to my dad the entire time, but she was talking to me.
And she was talking to you. Yeah, no.
There's certain signs and cues you can pick up on.
Because you're one of three or one of four siblings?
I'm one of three, but my mom is the third of eight, and I'm the oldest of 17 grandchildren.
Yeah.
And when I grew up, we were all kind of closer together, so everybody kind of saw each other more, and it was... And we just had a family reunion with the other mm-hmm. side of the family, which is kind of large too. And we all, so it's very confusing.
Yeah, I'm one of four, and my mom was six of eight. She was the sixth of eight
yeah.
kids. And my dad's one of three. So my mom is very similar though, where she like, whichever one I said, I'm pointing at you. Listen. And she'll run through the cat's names and all of my siblings' names before she lands on Luke sometimes. So very similar, but and Brian, we're gonna add even more stations to this group soon.
I know.
So there's gonna be even more call signs to confuse and throw together.
Someone asked my grandma, like, how did you get through all this? She said, index cards, and once a week I went to Woolworths at the lunch counter and just ate. I hired somebody
by herself.
To watch the kids.
There you go.
I just went out there and had a lunch at the Woolworths counter.
Oh, maybe that's a strategy we gotta see if that works and helps.
I don't know, man. They had a really good patty melt last time I went. Anyway.
Anyway, let's get to the Wisconsin headlines.
There's a lot of tangents you can go through on the Woolworths counter. Let's not go there today.
I'm sure.
Yeah. All right. So let's go with some good news today.
Well, good news because it's exciting the announcement.
Positive news.
It's positive news.
It's positive, darn it.
Somebody's trying to do something. And getting caught trying, I always feel like, is a good thing, especially when you have good motives. That's like a double whammy of good. Because if you get caught doing something, say, I don't know, undermining the entire 2020 election and spending more than $1.2 million, that I don't think is good getting caught trying.
No.
But I do believe...
Especially when you weren't even trying.
Right, true. Oh, and that you secretly put out memos that you didn't believe that anything you could do could actually do the things you were publicly calling for.
Sounds good.
Besides that. When you're trying to deliver for the Wisconsinites, I think it's a good thing. And so let's talk about a proposal that was announced today by incumbent Governor Tony Evers about what he would like to do with now, Brian, it's stop the presses because $5 billion surplus now.
$5 billion surplus?
We've been hitting on the fact that the Republican legislature has been sitting on $3.8 billion of surplus because they wrapped up the legislative calendar in the end of February, beginning of March. They went on a 10-month taxpayer-funded vacation because they're gambling. They are currently gambling right now. They're gambling addicts, and their bets are that if they get a Republican governor or they get a supermajority in the Wisconsin legislature, that they can take that $3.8 billion surplus and...
Now five.
Yeah, hang on. But it was $3.8 billion, and that they could return that to their donors and corporate interests that would benefit from a giant major tax cut, which
eventually,
is what they want to do.
It would trickle down to us, though, right?
Oh, that's what they tell you, Brian. That's what they say will happen if they cut taxes for those billionaires and millionaires.
I wonder if their plan is as specific as Tony Evers' plan is.
I doubt that. Because I think there's a lot of generalities. It's pretty much, elect us, we'll cut your taxes, everybody wins. And that's what they say. They run on that platform.
A while back when you were gone for a little bit, I read off the talking points that, you know, Michaels is planning on enacting as governor. And like three or four of them were straight out of Tony Evers' playbook anyway.
Yes,
and
I
three
remember
or four, yeah. So we went through all these talking points, but none of them were expounded upon at all. So we're going to go through and take this. I'm sorry, but we're going to bore the heck out of you with some really awesome ideas. Yeah, we're going to. But they're well-seasoned vegetables, at least.
Yeah.
They're nice and crisp. It's not soggy. So
they're roasted and they're delicious. And this is something that you can tell the Evers administration hasn't been sitting on a 10-month taxpayer-funded vacation just trying to gamble on returning that surplus to corporate donors. That's not what he's trying to do. This is what he's been working on. And now the Department of Revenue, Brian, has now found out that the estimates are actually lower. There were $3.8 billion was too low of an estimate. The actual numbers are going to be more like $5 billion. So there has never been more money in the state's general fund to be able to provide relief to Wisconsinites. And Governor Tony Evers says we should be doing something to return this money to Wisconsin taxpayers.
Quick question here for you. If the narrative is that government is wasteful and has wasteful spending and all of this wasteful stuff, why is it that when Governor Evers is the governor, they have a surplus? Am I crazy for thinking this? I don't know. You tell me. You guys give us a call. Tell me how crazy I am through 844-967-2789.
Yes. Please tell us how this is Robin Voss is doing. This is good government by Robin Voss.
Well, here's what Governor Evers has to say. We'll start with this, and we'll probably finish it in the next next segment here.
Mm-hmm.
But Governor Evers announces a new plan to cut taxes, yeah. Help working families afford rising costs, reduce barriers to employment. Those are just talking points. Let's see what the specifics are. New plan to to support working families and address rising costs due to national inflation. The governor's announcement today comes in anticipation of a new revenue projection set to be released by the DOR, which was Wisconsin Department of Revenue, in the coming days, which are expected to far exceed estimates from the beginning of the year, like we just talked about. This year, the nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau projected the state would end the biennium with $3.8 billion revenue surplus, nearly $2.9 billion more than was expected in June of 2021. Governor Evers' plan announced today, building on the plan he announced earlier this year, he uses the state's historic projected surplus to cut taxes for working families, veterans, and seniors, reducing gas prices by repealing the minimum markup law, cap co-pays for insulin, and reduce barriers to filing jobs by making reduce barriers to filling jobs by making child care more affordable and providing a caregiver's tax credit.
Yes. So those are all of the aspects, and we're going to dive into each of them in this upcoming segment. But it's important to point out, Brian, that this is, again, what you get when you invest in government, because the Evers administration made it a priority that the Department of Revenue had more individuals to go and collect the taxes that were owed. Already the laws are on the books. Evers didn't pass new tax law. He was making sure that the existing tax law was enforced. And because of that, the state is going to have way more money than they originally planned, which just goes to show that the previous administration, the Walker administration, I think was letting a lot of things slide over at DOR for not having these tax collections expected in the estimates. So it's crazy, but this is what is in the top item of the plan. So the Fair Credit 10% tax cut. The governor's plan provides a 10% tax cut for working families, which includes single filers at or below $100,000 in annual adjusted gross income and married joint filers at or below $150,000. The credit would gradually phase out for single filers with adjusted gross income between $100,000 and $120,000 and married joint filers with incomes between $150,000 and $175,000. With the governor's tax cut, the average recipient of the Family and Individual Reinvestment (FAIR) income tax credit will see a $220 annual reduction in their individual income taxes, and the medium family of four will receive an annual tax cut of more than $375. It's approximately $441 million annually beginning the fiscal year 2022 to 2023.
See, the difference is the Republicans will cut taxes for the rich, and Evers will specifically cut taxes for the people who need it the most. That's literally the difference. They're both going to cut your taxes. But wait, one's going to cut your taxes.
Folks, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. More on the plan when we get back, as well as your phone calls, 844-967-2789.
It's dedicated to all the pretty girls, pretty girls, pretty girls.
All the pretty girls. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents.
All right,
with Luke and Brian.
All right, so if Wu-Tang is for the children, by transitive property, is ODB also for the children?
I don't know. Maybe.
I'm just.
You should get a T-shirt. You should get a T-shirt with the question, I guess, and just put like both equal sign and then a question mark. Maybe. I don't know.
Oh yeah, put it like, you know, get it real.
Just get technical.
And then have an infinity because Wu-Tang is also forever. So that's.
Folks, you're listening to Dueling
Tangents.
You want
to write that equation and make that shirt? I'm a triple XL tall, so.
XXL tall. I knew that. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Oh, let me put the order in, man. And just one more thing I'll add to my list.
You can do it. It's fine. Design it, too, while you're at it.
Yeah. Just I'll print it myself. Sketches. I'll print it myself. It'll be great.
That's good.
Folks, you're listening to this program on the Civic Media network of stations. And if you want to join the show at any time, you can. 844-967-2789. We are talking about a proposal by Governor Tony Evers to return an unprecedented surplus in the Wisconsin state coffers back to Wisconsinites, working families, and the individuals hit hardest by what a lot of Wisconsinites in the most recent round of Marquette University Law School polling said was a top issue for them. Inflation, rising costs, and being able to address those rising costs. And it would cost roughly $600 million annually for these tax cuts. But the state has it's going to have more than $5 billion in its coffers by the end of this fiscal year.
With a B, billion.
Billion, yes, $5 billion. So quick math, what is that? Like you enough to be able to run this tax cut for 5 years alone off the surplus? That wouldn't be counting the tax revenues that they'd be bringing in over those 5 years as well? I'm not an economist. I'm not a tax lawyer or anything like that, but I believe that's some rough math.
It's at least five beans.
Cool beans, man. Cool beans.
But we're diving into the specifics because the Evers administration released the specifics, Brian.
Yeah, you got to the Fair Credit 10% tax cut.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the homestead credit here. Governor Evers' plan provides tax relief for low-income seniors on fixed incomes by increasing the income limit for the homestead credit and restoring indexing for inflation to preserve the credit's value. Over the years, Republicans have eroded the value of the state's homestead credit, which provides critical tax relief for low-income seniors and individuals with disabilities by failing to adjust the credit for inflation. In fact, the homestead credit hasn't been adjusted for inflation since tax year 2011. I'm going to read that again. The homestead credit hasn't been adjusted for inflation since tax year 2011.
That's weird. What happened in 2011? Who took over the governor's office in 2011?
I don't know. I had it written on a napkin, but I forgot all about it.
Yeah.
So that caused the credit's beneficiaries to decline as the credit loses value due to inflation. Mm-hmm. The governor's plan restores the homestead credit by increasing the income limit to $35,000 from the current law of $24,680. The governor's proposal also restores indexing for all parameters of the homestead credit to preserve the credit's value for its recipients, especially elderly claimants who make up approximately one-third of all homestead claimants.
Wow. There you go. Making the tax credit work for the people that need it the most. Veterans...
And specifically, you know, targeting exactly where it needs to go.
Yeah, and veterans are also going to receive some benefits from this tax cut proposal from the governor as well. Veteran and surviving spouse property tax credit. The governor's plan expands eligibility for the veterans and surviving spouses property tax credit to support the needs of our nation's heroes and their families, to include those with a disability rating at or at least 70% instead of the current law of 100%. This update will provide approximately $16 million in property tax relief to more veterans with disabilities and surviving spouses. The tax credit is based on the veteran's service-related disability rating. For example, if a veteran has a disability rating of a 70%, they will see a 70% property tax credit, freeing up other limited income for household needs and essentials. It is estimated that nearly 8,000 taxpayers will benefit from this change.
So it gives you specifically how they're going to do it, the numbers involved, and about how many people it will take care of.
Yeah. It's going deep into the weeds.
That's more than just a bumper sticker.
That's more than just elect us and crime will disappear, which is what Republicans are campaigning on, and we'll talk about that in upcoming segment.
I'm sure they have specific things that are more so than just lock them more up and more jails.
I haven't heard any other specifics, Brian.
All right, so lowering out-of-pocket costs. How are you going to do that, Governor Evers?
That sounds pretty interesting. Let's hear it.
The governor's plan targets the rising cost of gas by repealing the state's minimum markup law for motor fuel, which requires gas to be marked up from cost. Recently, the cost of this markup has been costing Wisconsin drivers an additional 18 to nearly 30 cents. With changes under the governor's plan, gas stations could immediately drop prices by removing this markup, which latest estimates put at nearly 30 cents.
Wow, 30 cents a gallon cheaper for gasoline to fill up your car with this proposal. That sounds like a pretty good...
And they've already been going down, by the way.
They have been going down, but imagine if they dropped another 30 cents.
Yeah.
And
you're also letting the market dictate how much people are going to make.
Yeah, and further capping the cost of out-of-pocket costs for Wisconsinites, insulin copay cap. The governor's plan would cap the cost sharing of insulin at $35. That's something that Democrats in the Senate tried to do in this most recent Inflation Reduction Act, and it didn't pass because senators like Ron Johnson voted against that. Medicare recipients can now have it capped at $35, but anybody with an insurance plan on the private insurance does not have that cap. Still paying hundreds of dollars almost for insulin a month.
It's ridiculous. No other nation in the world charges for insulin like that. And so this plan would also cap insulin costs to $35 of roughly 439,000 adults in Wisconsin have diagnosed diabetes, and an estimated 135,000 individuals have diabetes but don't know it yet, Brian.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So huge out-of-pocket costs covered as well in this tax cut proposal by Governor Tony Evers.
That's pretty awesome.
It seems like a good plan. What do you think the chances are it gets a hearing in the
Zero.
Well, let's find out.
Why would you want any sort of proposal or anything like that?
Let's dive into what Republicans are doing instead of debating these measures. This is Dueling Tangents. We'll be right back.
I'm going to need to be turned into like some sort of cat drawing that's filled in. It'll be awesome.
Yeah.
Turn into a nice little animated version of myself.
I don't know if I've seen this music video.
Yeah, it's probably like I'd probably be like the one of the movers in the back of the TV, just the guy in the back just going, hey, that's pretty much me at this point.
That's just Brian. He's in the back.
Yeah.
I'm Luke. That's Brian. We are together, dueling tangents. And sometimes apart, we're dueling tangents too. And then it works as well. If you want to join the show at any time, 844-967-2789. You're listening on Devil Radio, on the Shaw, on Bull Falls Radio, and locally grown radio across the Civic Media Network. And we are talking a proposal by the Evers administration to return a unprecedented surplus back to Wisconsin taxpayers. And so while we went through thoroughly, there's even more aspects to it. We're not going to continue to dive into them anymore because there's other headlines we want to get into. But it's important to compare. The Republican-led Wisconsin legislature is not going to act on this proposal. But this is a proposal that could be implemented if we didn't have gerrymandered maps and we had actual legislators that wanted to go to the Capitol and work on behalf of Wisconsinites, not bicker over politics. This is a bipartisan effort that could receive support easily if our politics weren't so broken. And I can tell you that our politics are broken because while the Evers administration is working on really thorough proposals like this one, the Republicans running this November are doing cheap political stunts instead. And they're not putting in the work to enact good policy. They're trying to play an optics game, and they're trying to run on grievances, and they're not trying to build coalitions to actually show that government can work. It's just not what they're doing.
No, because they've been running on government doesn't work for the last 10 years, and then they've been running the government, and then it doesn't work, and then they don't do anything else. It's not a recipe for success, but
it's
then
a self-fulfilling prophecy, Brian.
Yeah, it is. But you always have the wonderful scapegoat of, oh, it's the Dems always ruining it all. But it only goes so far. And after a while, people will look around and go, wow, geez, you guys haven't done anything.
Well, you would hope that would be the case. But unfortunately, it takes a little bit longer here in the state of Wisconsin for the fact that they haven't done anything to catch on. I mean, you still see people celebrating Foxconn, and the final property just sold, the last home in the Foxconn site that was started to be argued over, what, 5-6 years ago now, finally sold for almost $1 million. That's one of the headlines over the Journal Sentinel today.
Man,
$1 million for that house after the legal battle that lasted years for something that didn't even come.
Yeah, they force people off their property for things. They changed environmental laws for things. They streamlined it so it was easier for them to go to the Supreme Court immediately. They also changed it so that you didn't have to replace the wetlands that they built on. Normally, if you move a floodplain, you have to create a floodplain. It didn't happen.
Standard environmental law, not for them, though.
Yeah, exactly. They also have a stick in the water, a straw, a little straw in the lake.
And that's we have totally no cool, idea right? how much they're taking out. Cool.
Yeah, but that's cool. But it goes to something. Don't know what they do in there. Nobody ever goes in. Nobody ever goes out. But at least Rebecca Clayfish thought it would be a great idea to include Scott Walker in all of her ads and say, remember this? Wasn't that great?
Yeah, that really an out. Interesting campaign strategy. I believe the individual on her campaign that was running, the political consultant, was a former governor's son. So weird how that works out. That
oh, that's good.
You use all your politics.
I wonder if his judgment was clouded a little bit.
Wonder, maybe, who knows. But there's not going to be a Rebecca Clayfish matchup against Tony Evers. It's going to be somebody else. And he's also in southeastern Wisconsin, but not in Mount Pleasant. He today is in Kenosha, Brian, because Republicans are in Kenosha to not, I don't, what do you want to call this? Because it's not, they're celebrating an anniversary of the unrest. Celebrating is a terrible word, but what are they doing down there in Kenosha?
They're grandstanding so they can say that they want to hold Mandela Barnes accountable for the Kenosha riots?
It's Tony Evers' fault? Is that what they're trying to get across? It's the same message that Rebecca Clayfish launched her failed gubernatorial campaign on.
Yeah.
She had an ad surrounding Kenosha and trying to use that backdrop as the reason why she needed to be elected governor. And then Tim Michaels came in and spent millions of dollars on the airwaves and won that race. And she doesn't get to find out if it's going to be a good general election strategy. But Tim Michaels is going to try it. Because Tim Michaels, Eric Toney, who is running on the Republican ticket for attorney general, and other Republicans are down in Kenosha today. Because today marks 2 years since Jacob Blake was shot, unarmed, 7 times in the back. By a Kenosha police officer while his kids were in the car.
Yeah, and another officer was on the other side of the car. And the way that he was shooting was not very clear and very easily could have hit any one of those.
This was after a summer of unrest in 2020, the George Floyd being murdered by the Minneapolis Police Department and by Derek Chauvin specifically, kicked off a reckoning of protests and unrest throughout the summer of 2020, that then in late August of that year, Jacob Blake made it hit even closer to home here in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And everybody, because of where the stance was from that summer, knee-jerk reactions to their side. Politics as a sport, like you talked about yesterday, the laundry. Cheering for the laundry rather than any common sense, practical approach to these problems that we're facing. We're not having a thorough, talked-out proposal. We're jumping to conclusions. And so now Republicans are in Kenosha in front of boarded-up businesses that were boarded up before the unrest in Kenosha following Jacob Blake being shot in the back.
Yeah, their locations person did not do their research.
Or they didn't really care about the context. They just wanted the photo op.
Yeah, maybe. And they wanted to get out of. They wanted to get in there, get their photo op, and get out of Kenosha without trying to help, without finding out what's going on, or actually knowing what the heck they were talking about. They just wanted a photo op.
Oh, the other Republican that's down there with them, Congressman Brian Stile.
Oh, very good.
Interesting. Very good. He's going to be apparently leaning into this campaign strategy as well.
I just want to remind everybody at the 4th of July parade that I watched when. Tim Michaels scared all the children with his Michaels. That same one, there was a someone fainted in the parade ahead, and Brian Stile was caught at the corner, turning, and any politician there, like, you know, Rebecca Clayfish was like desperately shaking every little girl's hand and going to every woman and saying, "Wouldn't it be great if we had a woman governor?" Every single person, like, and so was Tim Michaels. He was like, "I needed everybody's hand." Like, even though he was kind of a robot and scaring people with his Michaels, he was still shaking everybody's hand and going out there. It was paused. Brian Stile just sat there and talked to his campaign staff. Didn't bother saying hi to anyone.
I think he's going to have a very interesting race this November. I still think that first congressional district is going to be something that's going to surprise a lot of folks that aren't paying attention.
Have you heard anything about Ann Rowe?
No, I haven't yet. But
that's interesting too.
That's interesting as well, I guess. But it only leans Republican now. It's a plus one Trump district. And Brian Steil, along with Tim Michaels and Eric Toney, down in Kenosha today. And do you think they're going to mention anything about the federal indictment for the Minnesota men that came to Kenosha 2 years ago tomorrow?
Wait. Are you saying that they found out who helped cause the riots and they are holding them accountable?
Well, tomorrow is the anniversary of them coming to Kenosha, and it would be the 2-year anniversary for these Minnesota men planning and premeditating a looting of a CVS, which you put that on the evening news and people lose their mind. And it was premeditated, though. It wasn't civil unrest that caused the looting of a CVS. It was Minnesota men that came down from Minnesota after the Jacob Blake shooting and started looting and planned arson and breaking the windows of a bar. That was what happened.
They had an investigation and they used evidence.
Federally charged. Yeah. It's weird how that works. Do you think the Republicans are going to talk about any of that down?
Well, they want law and order and they want people to be held accountable, and the people who did it were being held accountable.
Interesting.
They should be excited about that.
They should be, but I have a feeling that they're not going to mention that at all in their stop in Kenosha today.
No, they're going to say that, man, Mandela Barnes said something we disagree with on the day of.
Mandela Barnes said something about abolishing ICE, and that has everything to do with Kenosha, Wisconsin.
But that was a separate time that had nothing to do with this, but that's cool.
And if you elect the Republicans, crime disappears, Brian. It's a magical wand that they wave. And
except for Tulsa and...
Except for, I think it's important to point
Jacksonville
out,
and
Donald Trump was president in August of 2020.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's important to point that out, Brian.
Who is the Republican congressperson? Oh, that was Brian Steil.
Brian Steil represented that district in 2020.
And before that, it was Paul Ryan, solidly red district. But I thought that crime would disappear if you voted red. Huh.
Weird.
Well, I don't know. We'll never figure it out.
They promised to address crime right after they cut taxes, Brian. That's what it is.
Let's get mad at the liberals, because I'm going to cry about the something.
Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian as we trail off on this headline.
What a wonderful world we live in.
I really hope that some reporters, I haven't got a chance to see the full write-up of the press conference and everything. I hope that some of the reporters followed up and asked those questions while they're in Kenosha using that backdrop.
I don't know if they'll have time, because they got to set up, use the backdrop, get the thing in there, and run away before anybody says anything to anybody, or they have to even talk to any potential constituents or actual constituents.
Folks, you can share your tangent with Brian and I. 844-967-2789.
He didn't come around. He didn't come around and say hi, and we were just a bunch of white people in Oak Creek. I mean,
do you think he recognized you?
No, I don't think so.
He could have. I think you're very recognizable.
No, my point is there were hundreds of people around me and on the other side of the thing. He could have gone to the other side very easily. A lot of them were very much cheering on him, and he was still like, no, I can't. We're paused.
We're just paused.
And it wasn't like he was like...
That's more robotic than Michaels then.
Yeah, it wasn't like... But it wasn't like for security either. He just stood out in the middle, just like surrounded by a couple of his staffers. Like, hey, what's going on? You guys, yeah, that's parade. What are you going to do later? I don't know.
Let's head over to the phone lines, see if we can get some input on where the listeners stand on this. We got our friend Andy in Beaver Dam calling in. Andy, what are your thoughts on the day?
Well, my thoughts, Tim Michaels' brigade was out at the Dodge County Fair, you know, and out there pressing the flush and whatnot. What I would call an empty suit, but anyway.
That's what we would call it, too.
Pressing flush against two tight pants as well, my friend. Anyway.
Exactly. Yeah, but anyway, yeah. From now on until November, I guess everybody's going to be circulating and trying to move the gauge up on their side or whatever. But nice to hear your voice, Francie, Brian. You went in Chicago for what, about 2 weeks or something, or no?
No, I only had a couple of days down there, but I've also been doing a bunch of, like, we're putting up stations across the state, so I've been mostly doing that. Yeah, I've only had 3 days on set so far.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to hear your voice anyway. It's cool, man.
Well, I like to be soothing. I like to feel
Luke and Brian. All right, well, that's all I got. Maybe you'll have another topic before you finish up.
No worries, Andy. We appreciate the call. 844-967-2789. You can be like Andy. And Brian's got the hard work of being Superman. He's got to fly up there and install those radio antenna all on his own. It's a very difficult job.
Warning, I'll be up in Oshkosh tomorrow.
Yeah, somebody's got to do it. But I got some fun guests. So maybe
it's not Bigfoot. It's me.
It's just Brian Kelly.
Also Bigfoot.
This is Dueling Tangents. We got one more segment left of the day. Plenty of time for your phone calls. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Look at that. Look at that.
We have reports of an unidentified flying object. It is a long, smooth shaft, complete with two balls.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. 1, 2, 3. This is Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That over there is Brian. You're listening to us on a network of civic media radio stations. Devil Radio in Madison, The Shaw in Waukesha, Bull Falls Radio in Wausau, and locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids. If you want to join the show, share your tangent, 844-967-2789. And Brian, I guess...
I just want to clarify a point here that there are three jesters on this. There's Evan as well,
and Evan is screening your phone calls very lightly.
Yes,
and you say his name and he jumps back. He
gets
cut off.
Barely, dude. Barely.
If you have a name and a location, you may also be able to.
That's all we need. And I might listen to your tone of voice. You know, I might try and suss out your intentions by how aggravated you seem.
Sometimes we don't even take a place. Sometimes we don't even, like, Wisco can call in and we don't know where he's calling from. And
Mark, you're good,
location.
Bud.
Mark, yeah. Exactly. We know where some of them are calling from, but we don't even share that. But Brian, I have to apologize.
Thank goodness.
Because
I'm going to sit back.
I did say that the Republican legislature was on a 10-month paid vacation, but it sounds like I'm not apologizing to you. I don't know what you're sitting back for.
That's why I leaned back forward.
But they're actually doing something.
What?
Not legislatively. It has to do with corporate attorneys. So of course they're like, how can we pay our private friends in the legal field and try to sue Democrats?
Hey, clarify abortion law. No. Hey, could you go and figure out something for the pandemic and voting? No.
Can you work on updating the licensing system so professionals can get back to work? No.
No. Hey, maybe you should get your attorneys paid more. Oh, absolutely. Let's
yes. Sign us up right away. And this is the headline over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Republican legislative leaders ask court to dismiss challenge to Wisconsin's 1849 abortion law. So, Brian, addressing the professional licensing backlog over at the Department of Safety and Professional Services doesn't get them off their butts. Addressing rising costs of inflation, gas prices, everything like that doesn't get them off their butts. But the governor and the attorney general sue in state court to clarify what abortion law, because Republicans have passed a ton of different abortion laws since 1973 when Roe v. Wade was 1972 when Roe v. Wade was implemented.
Yeah.
72 or 73. And
close.
73 because it's 49 years of legal precedent. It wasn't quite a full 50.
We could hang up here while I look it up if you want.
No, we're good. I got it. It's 49 years, 1973. And so there has been laws passed on abortion in 1985. Several times during the Walker administration, they tried to shorten the ban. I believe it was a 20-week ban in 2015. And so there's abortion laws on the books that looked to try to roll back the Roe v. Wade decision. And so the governor and the attorney general are trying to find out, well, what abortion law stands at? Because religious zealots would love for the 1849 law to be the law of the books. Tim Michaels,
Republican, that's a mirror of me.
Yes, a mirror image of him.
When you think of 1849, think of Tim Michaels.
Apparently, especially when it comes to reproductive health care. Because
when you
think
of garbage, think of Hakim.
That transitive property, Brian, the two of them. Tim Michaels, 1849 abortion ban. one and the same. And so there are individuals out there that would like that, but the law is not clear because the Supreme Court decided to do some judicial activism and they overturned nearly 50 years of legal precedent and Hooray. Threw it into a chaos pattern of states trying to figure out what the law in that state is, because for nearly 50 years, it was settled that there was a federal guarantee right to an abortion. Women had body autonomy for nearly 50 years, and the conservative-led Supreme Court changed that. And so now, in state court, we're trying to find out what the law of the land is here in the state of Wisconsin, and Republican legislators coming back from their 10-month paid vacation, well, not coming back from, but they're taking a break out of that vacation to ask a Dane County Circuit Court to throw out this lawsuit filed by the governor and the attorney general looking to clarify what abortion law is in the state. That's what gets them off their butts.
You can't ask complicated questions like that.
Well,
if it doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, we can't do it, and therefore we must legislate against it.
Well, their argument in Dane County Court is that the attorney general, Josh Call, and the other plaintiffs are not private citizens who fear enforcement of the law against them. That's what they're claiming you need to try to clarify the law, apparently. You have to be harmed. You have to have...
Are they by proxy trying to say that we are also not real citizens and we are can't be prosecuted from the law? Because if that would happen, that wouldn't that include them?
I think they're trying to go off of the basis that you have to have standing, and apparently the attorney general doesn't have standing and figuring out what the laws are on the book. Huh? That's what they're trying to argue. They undermined the attorney general's office and the office of the governor during the lame duck session that stripped away powers from both of those offices in 2018 because they're sore losers, and Brad Schimmel and Scott Walker, the Wisconsin voters said, we don't want you anymore. They got rid of them. Robin Voss, Scott Fitzgerald, they got to stay because their gerrymandered maps kept their seats. But more Wisconsinites voted for Democrats in state assembly races than Republicans. And still, they had the votes during the lame duck to send a bill to outgoing Governor Scott Walker to strip away their rights. Now they're saying that the attorney general doesn't have legal standing to clarify which abortion law that has been passed since the 1849 law is the law of the land in the state.
Could anybody want to clarify it? To clarify it, the Republicans would like to say...
Do you think if it gets all the way up to the Wisconsin Supreme Court that they're just going to kind of ignore some of the aspects of it like they did with the absentee ballot dropboxing?
Oh, sure, whatever works out. You know, it's really do what you... It's a free-for-all either way.
Just interpret it how you feel. That's what the Supreme Court said. Leave it up to the states. And Robin Voss and the other Republican legislators trying to dismiss this case are saying, well, it's not up to the state's top law enforcement agent to have standing and figuring out what the law of the land is.
Okay, could someone just do it then? Someone, anyone. Like,
Robin
is part
Voss.
Of this?
Robin Voss wants him or Tim Michaels to choose, I would assume.
But is any part of this like, this is the answer?
No.
Or is it just, no, you can't Josh Call?
And no, because if they get their way and the religious zealots get... an 1849 abortion law, a abortion law that was passed before women had the right to vote, before the Civil War, there's no way to enforce it because they don't want to talk about enforceability. But healthcare providers are then stuck in limbo where they cannot provide the care that their patients need. And so women are going to die. Patients are going to have to travel across state lines to receive the healthcare that they should be able to receive, that they should be constitutionally guaranteed to receive. But that's what Republican lawmakers want.
Can you smell the freedom? I do.
Folks, this has been Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That's Brian. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. I'll be back tomorrow at 2. Brian's going to be playing Superman instead.
Billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions.